in a world.
What's up, bro?
How you doing, bro?
Man, I can't complain. And you?
Can't complain. Nobody gives a shit when I do.
Nobody cares. I care.
Wow, that's true. That's true. Of course you care.
I act like I care.
You're a good actor.
Good action.
Oscar. In a world.
Oscar goal, bro. Oscar goal. What you want to talk about today?
I think we should talk about how teams and organizations have walls up between areas and are those good or bad, and how could we break those down if possible?
Yeah. Yes. As they call them in the corporate world, a silo, if you will.
Working in a silo.
Silos are crazy.
Yeah.
It's interesting because there are probably some old school institutions where I think a silo was beneficial.
Right.
Right. And sometimes people, you know, hey, the people who are designing the vehicle, let them sit in the room and design it.
Right.
Right. And then they hand that stuff off to the engineers, they build it, then, you know, so historically, I think that there's been institutions in the way some businesses were built that everybody had their own specific expertise. Right.
Right.
And because you've got a specific expertise, it leads you to be like, hey, I have this product from phase one to phase three, and then I pass it on to you.
Right.
Right. And, you know, in the automotive world, aerospace, that stuff worked for a long time until stuff starts breaking down.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not a problem until it becomes a problem. I remember working, you know, one of my first jobs in McDonald's, and that was one of the deals. There were people that were, their job was just to open up buns and heat them up.
Yep.
That was it. Open up buns. There were people who were specific to work the drive-through. But when you started yelling and communicating what you needed, the process got better.
Yeah. I mean, and so in a manufacturing scenario, right, it makes sense when you're like, I'm going to get really good at this one thing. I don't need to do anything else. And all you're doing is opening buns. You can be the master at that. And you can figure out 20 different ways to open that bun faster or to open more buns at the same time. And, you know, so there are scenarios where it's like, hey, you don't need to know what's going on these buns. You don't. It's just we'll take care of that for you. You just open these buns really fast. And in certain scenarios that works. But the problem is that, you know, as these organizations and teams and companies have been architected, you know, they've stopped, in my opinion, they've stopped thinking about, hey, there's talent at these levels that can know something and can improve this process, but they can't see through these walls. And so because they think, oh, I've got this divine plan and I know everything the best, at least that's what it feels like. And so there's no room for, you know, interpretation or suggestion. And that leads to poor processes.
Yeah. And especially when you have a company that's been successful for a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And I think taking the manufacturing approach in this is a good one because, you know, you think about where I'm from, the Motor City, that's the ultimate manufacturing. You know, you start off with a frame, and at the end, you got an F-150.
Right.
Right. And in the old days, it was like that. Hey, don't worry. You just do your part.
Right.
You get the frame together, and then when I get it, now I'm going to put these tires on. Well, I think from my perspective, the automotive industry were one of the first ones to figure that out.
Right.
Right. Because now I figure out, well, I gotta grease this axle down. I gotta do this. And then I gotta put this next piece on it. Well, if you were able to grease that axle down when it gets to me, then now I'm going to, right? I'm going to save 5 minutes on this process.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's like, even to a point where you're thinking outside of your, you know, your job is to put a rivet through this hole, and you're like, man, this works, and I've got my numbers up, and I'm doing great, and I'm meeting the production plans, but man, I could do so much more if this rivet was 2 millimeters down and to the left. I don't understand why this rivet hole is here, but there's no room for you to go like, hey, could this rivet hole be over here? Sure, it could. Absolutely. Or even that other scenario is like, hey, I wonder, you know, I'm leaving a burr on the edge of this rivet hole. I wonder if I bet that might be affecting the people that are putting the grommet in that hole next. Might, you know, if would leave less of a rivet. And now I'm improving the before me and the after me, but I don't have any room to talk to those people.
Yeah. Yeah. So then those types of ideas, you know, they push their way out of the, you know, the production floor, if you will.
Yep.
And then they're in, you know, the carpeted areas. It's in the C-suite level, right? It's in marketing.
Exactly.
It's in R&D. And so as I think we did a good job of kind of setting up what silos mean and how it's easy to get there. But then let's just go over to, non-production, just sort of white collar institution. Why we think we still have silos?
It's that same thing, right? You've got everybody in training, or you've got everybody in marketing, or you've got everybody in sales, and it doesn't matter what industry. That scenario happens to where it's like, hey, you know, the people that are marketing a product or a solution are like, ooh, you know, this is the best, and this can be, and this and that and that and that and this and this and this. But those people don't really get to talk to the designers or the engineers. They do, but in this exact scenario of a vacuum of information, the people that are designing it aren't necessarily talking to the people that are selling it, you know, one-to-one. So you don't get that feedback of like, hey, my customers are saying this is nice, but it would be way better if it could do this and this and this. And I mean, those are extreme examples that are probably not always happening, but that's the damage that can have by not having a big loop, right? So the people making the product or designing the product should be talking to the people that are coming up for the information, right? The marketing people that are like, hey, world, this is this amazing thing. You really want this. And then those people should be in that circular loop with the people selling the product. Like, hey, we made this amazing thing and this is great. So that feedback, there should be this big, huge feedback loop all the way from customer to designer.
Yeah. So it almost seems like it, when we boil it down, it's communication.
Right.
Right. And you would think in a large organization, people wouldn't have a problem communicating.
But they do.
But they do.
Yeah.
Right. And it seems so much easier when people communicate. And I wonder if there's just anxiety that creeps into people.
Right.
A sense of, I don't know if it's a sense of pride, but it seems like people are afraid, you know, they just want to do their part and not get any feedback in terms of what could be better, right? And we've talked about this. It's almost like people are just afraid of having to change their process.
Yeah, change is inevitable. There's something about the human psyche that fears change. At its core, a tremendous amount of people don't want to change. And that's why it's like there's a bunch of different questions around that. Like, do you think it's possible for a person to change? And a lot of people will say, no, they are who they are. They're not going to grow. And I think for the mouse mentality that the world has created, especially in, you know, like the cubicle farms across America, that's probably the truth, because, you know, you don't want these uppity voices going around and ruining things or, you know, poking holes in your smoke and mirrors. Right.
Yeah. Because it just seems like people don't want to hear. They don't want to change what they're doing. They don't want anybody getting into their kitchen, so to speak.
Right.
Right. But if you heard that feedback, because a lot of times there's someone that looks at the process completely different and they're not in your department.
Right.
Right. They may have, you know, there are people who are in marketing that were from sales.
All the time.
Marketing in sales now. Right. Mm-hmm. People from R&D that have gone on to do strategy.
Right.
So I think the big miss is that people are afraid of sort of opening up the cabinets in their department, right? And in actuality, you should be open to it.
Yeah.
Right.
And there are organizations that do this well. Like if you look at like from my peeps who've watched like Silicon Valley, the show Silicon Valley, did a good job of portraying like the tech industries, especially startups. They've done a pretty good job. It's kind of wackadoodle because, you know, when you think of a big corporate company, you think of, okay, you know, all these cubicles and, you know, high walled cubes and a cafeteria downstairs and 9 to 5 and you better be here on time. And, you know, Lombard with his TPS memos you know, that's immediately what you think of. And tech has really tried to kind of dissolve all of that. There are areas where there's no cubicles. It's just, it's chaotic, to be fair.
You can touch base on it.
Yeah. I just don't want to fall down this squirrel hole. But, you know, there's no cubicle walls. There's like, you know, the lunchroom is free. You don't pay for anything. There's like pool tables and video games and on-site daycare. And, if you want to work from home on Tuesdays and Fridays, that's cool, too. And they're trying to basically foster this idea that everybody's equal and all of your ideas matter.
And that's kind of that whole connecting, because we've seen that. I see the squirrel hole you're talking about now. I feel it. That's the thing that I think people were trying to sell when they said, come back from COVID, come back to work. Yep. We want collaboration. But you can't really technically collaborate on that level if everybody's in a jammed up cube.
And not.
Right. And it's almost like I've seen a few organizations and where they've taken down, like they shorten the cube.
Right. Everybody's staring everybody in the eyes.
You're seeing everybody. But what it inherently does is it creates eye contact. It creates communication. Once you get done with the weirdness that you can't, you know, take a little quick snooze at your cube, you're not seeing people, right? You're talking, people are hearing your conversations. So the communication happens naturally, right?
Exactly.
So I think all of those things, like, because a lot of people, you know, you think about Google, people say, all those things you said, Google does that.
Right.
Right. Like, oh, you know, there's a slide and there's cupcakes and this and that. It's almost like you want people to feel comfortable. You know, my question is, you know, to folks out there, like, does that actually break down silos, or are, you know, could you still have the ice cream, bring your puppy to work, get your laundry done, play pool, and still I'm clutching on to my information like it's my pocketbook in a rough neighborhood.
Yeah. And to me, it's all about that, you know, senior man with a secret thing. I think we've talked about it before, right? And just to remind new listeners, right? Back in my Navy days, we'd have these people that their job was their security, right? It was they were the only person qualified to fix this piece of equipment or to operate this piece of equipment. And that meant that they didn't have to go do some other shit job. They weren't going to have to go scrub the walls on Tiger Teams, or they weren't going to have to go work in the gallery or the scullery and clean pots and pans when times were a little thin, because they had, I'm the only person that can do this. And I'm a huge opponent to that type of scenario. I hate that, right? Is that's like, but it needs to be strategic as well. I think everybody should know how to do that. Everybody should learn from it, because everybody can benefit, and the organization as a whole is going to excel. Yeah. And so that's my scenario in there, is it's like, hey, you know, remember that if you let everybody have a hand on the wheel, you're going to still get there, but you're a more well-rounded machine by the time you get there.
Yeah. It's like I learned this, and I'm going to use the easy one, sales and marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When I was a wee lad. Selling my first pharma products, it was always interesting to me. That was the first time I recognized a real silo.
Right.
Right. And it was marketing coming up with the messages.
Yep.
Right. To sell to physicians. But there's no salespeople in the room.
None.
And none of these marketing people have been to see a doctor.
Right.
Right. So it's like, I used to say, open up a window in there in that room that you're in and let some fresh air in there.
Right.
Right. Let some fresh air in there. And then bring a person who's knocking their number out, and bring a person who's struggling. And that's not, you might hear two totally different things.
Yeah.
And not every time the person, see, a lot of times I think we tend to lean to the people who are killing it.
Always.
Right. And this is going down a path where we lean towards the people who are consistently winning, you know, consistently on stage, or, you know, they're hitting their growth goals, their revenue goals.
Yep.
But there is something to say about the person who is mid-range, right?
Always. With tenure.
There's something to say, because those are the, it's like middle America. There's rich people, but then, you know, when these elections and stuff come out, who do they talk to? They talk to the people in the middle.
In the middle. Right?
They talk to those people in the middle, because the people in the middle are really like, hey, and what was that old dude? The rent is too damn high. The rent's too damn high. Milk is at an all-time high. So you really get a perspective from those people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm saying not to say, you got to bring people in the room. And I think it's ego that, you know, ego plays a role in silos.
Yeah.
You have to lay down that ego and let somebody who's out there in the streets tell you. They can tell you something simple. Hey, that's great. You want me to go sell chocolate? Well, it's hot outside. I need a cooler.
Exactly.
Because if I'm selling chocolate, by the time I ride all around town and try and hand off chocolate, it's mush.
Yeah. What do we say about common sense?
It ain't common, player.
It ain't common.
It ain't common. So I think ego plays a huge role in silos that,
yeah,
a lot of times people, you know, we're in rooms with people sometimes and I'm like, hey, you got to check your ego. And they're like, whoa, I forgot I had an ego.
Yeah. Here's another great example. This is a real life scenario. I used to be in the SAP industry, which is just a big fancy word for some software that would control an entire organization. It's like have its hands on everything. I was working. I was a consultant for this integration company. and we were implementing this system. And the problem was that, so, and this was in like, you know, little tiny town in the middle of nowhere, Horn Lake, Mississippi. And so the scenario was that they're manufacturing something, right? They're building something, and you've got these good old, you know, Southern boys that are, and women that are going in there. They've been working on the production floor for 20 years, 30 years was the norm. There are these people that have been doing this stuff, you know, driving rivets, welding stuff, doing whatever. And then along comes this, you know, the big corporate people. And they're like, oh, we're going to do this and it's going to increase our bottom line and we're going to get so much more money and we're going to have so much more visibility and reports. And this is going to be insane.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem was that that involved a complete process change all the way for everybody. Everybody was going to have to put in their numbers and do this into the system. And here's where it got dark. The problem was a lot of these people that were, you know, on the production floor making stuff, they'd never used a computer. Ever, right? And now I had to come in and teach these people how to use a computer. Okay, you know, and I knew we were in trouble when I said, all right, go ahead and put your mouse on the start button. And half of them,
they're like, what is a mouse?
And half of them picked up the mouse and put it on the front of the monitor. Now, and I was like, I shit you not. I shit you not. Because they saw one do it and they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh no, you know, it was that whole peanut butter jelly. Teach somebody to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that's never done it before. You don't realize that you're taking a lot for granted. Anyway, so the bottom line was the people who had made this process thinking they're all slick and amazing and, oh, this is going to be so great. They hadn't taken into any human factor. They hadn't asked any of these people down in the trenches, you know, hey, how do you do your job? And they didn't realize that they were adding a significant amount of steps to these people's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we went live, this is a no shit. When we went live, me and a handful of other people were on the production floor wearing like high vis vests as a purpose so that if anybody had any issues, they could come and be like, hey, Alexei, my system's not working or I don't remember what step I was supposed to do here or whatever, right? The problem was that we had targets on our back. There were people, they were so pissed. Everybody down there was so pissed that forklifts were like swerving to almost hit us to scare us because they were mad. They were so mad. And this is a very long-winded story to say, have to go down to every level and talk about what are your pain points? How can I make this better? Because I don't care who you are, you are never going to know every nook and cranny of a process. And you have to, anytime you want to change something, you need to go, what can I do to make this better? What is working for you? And what do you think?
Yeah. Well said. I think it also sets you up. You and I have talked about this in a different way. Like sometimes when you're coming with a presentation, you know, just let people know this is version one versus trying to get to them with the finished product. And I think that's a lot too. It's ego we talked about. And then people want to look like they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They do, but it's looking like you know what you're doing is not the main goal. Putting out a good product is the main goal, whatever that may be. Make sense?
Yep.
It's that's the main goal. So stop trying to be like, oh, well, I put together this great deal and connect with your partners early to say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And at the end of the day, if they, you know, if their hand was in it, it's okay.
Yep.
And I think, as we peel the onion, a lot of people and groups, they don't want to share the success.
Mm-mm.
But you forget you're working for the same company.
Exactly.
And you, if we fail, guess what's going to happen?
You're all going to fail.
Everybody's going to fail. So you're better off saying, hey, marketing. Hey, R&D. Hey, logistics. Hey, transportation. Right. This is what we're thinking. And this is how we're thinking we're going to package it now. And then people would be like, that's not going to work. That needs to be, you know, that needs to be 10 inches shorter because the average pallet size of this. And so it cuts down on a lot of work and frustration. And the biggest thing, you know, I think that people are afraid of, and you and I talk about this, is bringing that shiny new toy, showing everybody, hey, I brought my new baby boy in. And they go,
that is an ugly baby.
That's an ugly baby. Nobody wants that.
And nobody wants to say that either.
So you, but you got some people who will.
Oh, yeah.
you know what I mean? You got people who are like, you didn't discuss that with us. So we're not going to, we're not going to sign off on it. Like, so to me, you avoid so much with over communication.
Yep. Yeah, there's two things on that I would like to touch on, right? And so let me get this one out of the way. If you're a manager and you're thinking, oh, you know what? This doesn't apply to me. I totally have the open door policy. All of my people know they can come to me anytime. That's bullshit. That's just a word that you're saying to make you feel better. You need to be going to them and you need to be going, hey, if we could change one thing here, give me just one thing. What would it be? I'm not promising it. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But what would that look like? You need to be going to your entire team and your customers. And everybody gets bent around that word. Your customer isn't the person out on the street paying. Yeah. It's not only the person paying for it. You know, inside your organization, whoever you're handing your work off to or your product or your information, that's your customer. That's your customer. If they wear the same badge you do. So what does that look like? That looks like having, you know, ideas and proof of concepts. And anytime you want to do something like that, you have to go out and you have to find where the pain points are, what could be improved. If, you know, and, you know, look at those scenarios and go, hey, I could actually save money or time, which is money, and keep everybody happy and everything is a win. Look at how much more amazing and versatile you are to the organization.
Yeah. Nice work. It's also psychological too, because historically, you know, I've worked with some startups, and in a startup world, everybody's running fast.
Yes.
Everybody's running fast and hard, and they're just, I mean, they're slapping sandwiches together and they're getting it. You're like, that one didn't have mayo on it. Right. But a nice psychological trick that you do is you think about all the different groups. And this could be anywhere. You could be working for Boeing right now. Boeing, they're taking it on the chin, right? And this is probably one of the better examples of, you know, obviously there's some silos. Some stuff ain't working. Can you imagine? Nah, you got me in the cornfields. Can you imagine going on an 8-day trip and it turns into like 8 months?
8 months. I'll be back for your first recital. Half a year later.
Sorry. Hey, can you send me a video of my grandson?
Can we FaceTime your first day of school?
He was born. But a perfect example of silos.
Yep.
Right. But the psychological trick is to go around, even if you don't have a good friend, because usually what I'll say is find your friend in marketing, find your friend in engineering, find your friend in sales. And just use this. Like, you go to people and say, hey, we're trying to come up with something new and, you know, still in the brainstorming phase. And this is my old school term. I just want to make sure I'm not smoking the wacky tobacco here. Am I headed in the right direction? Those people will remember that.
Yep.
They'll remember that. They're going to give you some feedback, right? If the feedback is applicable and it makes sense, use it.
Yep.
So now when you come back and you present or whatever you do or people seeing it, then someone in the group is like, you know what? Chris came to talk to me about that, right? I gave him some insight on that. So now you've built some collateral with the team. Because a lot, you know, there might be other people that's like, I don't like this person. I'm going to shoot this down. I don't like it. So go and talk to people and just ask them if you're headed in the right direction. What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Then as you come with that final project, people are like, you know what? I was included in that. He asked me some questions. Now, even if there's more, you've got an ally that you've created. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. Here's an idea, right? You're a manager of a team, and it doesn't matter what kind of company you work at. A recommendation that I have is like have some kind of team building event with your team, you know, with your people. If you want to invite some people from other teams, that's great too. Uh-huh. Maybe you make it a cool thing. Mix up the groups. That's actually even better. And now you and your co-managers go out and do something like, hey, we're going to randomize you into teams. And this is just part of an experience. And now we've got three-person teams or whatever. And each of you you got 5 minutes to build a tower out of spaghetti and marshmallows, right? Mm-hmm. And whoever gets the highest tower that stands for 5 minutes, they're the winner. And the point isn't to make the highest tower. The point is to sit back there as you three or four managers and watch them and go, where's my creatives? Where's my leaders? And where's my problem solvers? And now you're taking notes and you're identifying that. Now you have ideas, right? Now you're going to go, oh, you know what? Let's go to these creatives and let's say, hey, you are thinking outside of the box here. Where are we failing? What could we do better? Those are your sharp ones. And you look at, and you know, what's funny is you're going to be surprised quite a bit by who you thought were maybe mousy people and they're natural leaders. And you can tap into that because they didn't know they had the room to lead. And so that is a good way of, you know, if you're, you know, thinking, how do I start this right there? Go find your creatives, find your leaders, and now talk to those people and say, hey, what could we do better if we're working with marketing? What could we do better to get this out the door?
Yeah. And it's also good to find out, you know, sort of that same personality profile for your internal partners.
Absolutely.
Right. So R&D, marketing. Oh, you know, you guys are both expressive. Mm-hmm. Right. You guys are both analytical because you want to create a synergy. And then I think that helps. But then at some point, you just have to break down and you just have to bring the teams together as well.
Have to.
Right. You just have to say, hey, you know what? In the best interest of our goals and what we need to do now. And you want to do it when it's easy.
Oh, yes.
We don't want to do it when it's hard.
Don't wait.
Because now Boeing is coming together and these are hard discussions.
Exactly.
Right. And it's like, oh, I got to work with Doug.
If you had done this 2 years ago, you wouldn't be in this spot.
If you hadn't just had a pizza party. If you had just had a pizza party. And then put up brainstorming things.
Yeah.
I think that helps.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to collaborate. And as you're going through things, I think you have to drip the information to your people. Listen, be smart. You don't have to give all the goods. I know you still have to be protective.
But you got to give some.
You got to give something.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to have people align with your vision, and then you have to be open for the feedback.
Feedback is feedback.
Feedback is feedback. Now mark that down. We're gonna do a show on feedback. Okay.
I'm putting it in the notes.
We're gonna do a show on feedback because it comes. I think it all comes back to that. And silos. I think is mainly your ego. And then there's a lack of communication. It's just like anything else. People joke now, there's a whole mean thing that goes around. They're like, when the trip made it out of the group chat.
Yes.
Okay. So think about that. An idea that starts in a group chat and then now you're on some island or you're in Dublin, Ireland with all the people in the group chat, how much freaking communication had to happen?
Right. Great example.
You had to communicate childcare, this and flights, and I don't, you know, I'm not going to spend that much, and who's doubling up in a room, and passports, and
dietary restrictions,
and you know, who's the chill at the pool type people, and then and who's the zip line people, right? It's it's so which and you the zip line dude. That's
yes. I'm chill by the
pool, right?
I might be maturing to a chill by the pool kind of guy.
So think about that as an example. Your work drives you to be able to do the group trip.
Yep.
So you want to communicate the same way with people like that. Even and for me, I'm going to tell you what's worked for me historically. Going back to, you know, the startups is go to the assholes.
Mm.
Go straight to the people who you're like, oh my God, I do not. Last person I want to deal with. I learned so much from those people.
They got the most stuff on the top of the head because they're not happy.
They're not happy.
And they know why they're not happy.
And it's, you know, a couple people, like I said, you had no idea what their issue was. And it wasn't with you. It wasn't with anything. But then you go and talk to them. And there's a crap ton of knowledge that you get from there. And so then what you end up doing is creating a stronger bond.
Yeah, with you might be crossing yourself off their murder list.
With the red lipstick.
The red lipstick.
So I think, you know, I think we're really peeling it back here. You got to drop your ego. You have to, you know, you have to be open to feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to go on the offensive if you want to get something across. Because, and not to go down another crazy one, but look at all of these companies who have come out with awful marketing plans.
Awful.
Like, I can remember a couple years back, it was something they had, like a little black boy in a monkey shirt or something. And it's like,
how did that get into production?
What? Like, how is this possible? All you got to do is share.
Or JCPenney. When it fits, you'll feel it. What the hell is that?
What are you doing? So, you know, you have to share and you got to be open. And I think that's what happens. People get in a room and they're like, oh, we came up with this and this is our shiny toy and we're going to come out and it's going to shock the world. No.
Too much ego.
It's not. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a buddy who works for, I'll just say he works for an organization, right? And they have... It's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're in this world now. It's National Hot Dog Day. It's national this. It's national that. And, you know, his company was going to dress up this mascot in, you know, like a Native American outfit.
That's a no, Bob.
and he's like... And they kept him out of the meetings.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, you can't do that.
Asshats.
You can't. And it was like, you know, it was like they had already started the launch code. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Abort. It's too late. It's too late.
29, 28. He's like, abort this.
Yep.
And what they did, they aborted it. And they still thought he was wrong. And they went out to people and it was like 200% people was like, that would have been horrific.
Right.
That would have been horrific. So that's a, you know, that's a little story for people that it always makes sense to make sure you're headed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that.
Is it time for some this or that?
It is. It is. This or that. This or that.
You could go with this or you could go with that. Okay. I have a good choice. I'm trying to decide, should we go dark or should we go funny?
Let's go dark.
Let's go dark.
Okay.
Would you like to know the date of your death or the cause of your death? You can only know one.
Bro, you went super dark. I'll go cause.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I can start working on it now. And then, if it's like high speed train, I'm like, okay, we're banning those. No high speed.
Yeah.
No high speed train. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that movie where it's like people cheated their death because it
final destination.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're probably still going to get, maybe you end up choking on a toy train then.
Yeah. It'll be something else. Yeah. Exactly. The train on a birthday cake. You know what I'm saying? What about you?
I'm the same. I think knowing the cause, because I think I'm in control, because I like control, but you know, that control is usually more of an illusion than you think it is.
Yeah. But anything, that's just like you see something coming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's
get
kind
out
of
the
a
way.
Rules. You know what I'm saying? What did you say? You better not walk in front of my tour bus. Oh man, great conversation, brother. As always, I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
Peace.
Peace.